Good morning, 810 here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Tuesday edition of the program. And joining us as we do each and every Tuesday, we have Lisa Wilson of the Independence Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You survived after a full week plus of Neowalla.
I know. It was, you know, it was absolutely perfect because we got rain, which we definitely needed, and the rain did not stifle Neowalla. So we were fortunate that we had the best of both worlds. And, you know, on Saturday it was cold, but it's been colder, and it wasn't miserable. At least it wasn't for me, and I'm usually a fairly cold-natured person. So, you know, you bundled up, and you put some blankets over your lap, and then you enjoy a great parade. So yeah. It was a huge success. It was a great time. The one thing I didn't get to do that I wanted to do was go out to the Marching Band Festival, but I was at my sister's because we had family in, and it was late, like 8-9 o'clock, and you could still hear the bands going out at the stadium.
Well, so, that's good. I think yeah. We really did kind of luck out weather-wise because, yeah, it could have been much worse. And hey, that was a great to, you know, have everyone turn out. That's just, and can't beat, you know, the finale there with the Oak Ridge Boys.
I know. So yes, it was great all in all. And I know that we were all hoping that the rain would hold off, but also going, you know, knowing yep. that we needed rain desperately. So on Sunday, it was nice just to have a good, steady rain all day long. So it was good.
That's right. Well, very good.
So now we're getting ready for Trunk or Treat. So, 6:45 this morning, I was chalking parking stalls in downtown Independence, getting ready for tonight, and then jumping in the car and heading this way at 7:30. So, The stalls are marked, and we have about 55 trunks that will be in downtown Independence this evening from 6 to 7:30. It is going to be cold, so bundle the kiddos up and come on down. Each of the trunks are prepared with about 1,000 pieces of candy, and so we're armed and ready for all of the kiddos to come down for a night of trunk or treating. And I will say that we have points of entry just to kind of have a little bit of crowd control. So we purchased big orange feather flags, and we put them up last year, and they will be at 4 different corners of downtown. You won't be able to miss them. They're in the tree wells on the corners, 2 on the east side and 2 on the west side. And it just helps people know where to line up to go in. I had someone suggest, I'm always open to suggestions, and they said, why don't you just let everybody go wherever they want to go? And technically we do. We don't say you have to stand in line, but everybody kind of just does it. You know, they kind of form their own process down there, because if you start going all different directions, it's like a salmon swimming upstream, or somebody thinks somebody's cutting in front of somebody else. So it works well. Everybody just walks in, and we kind of just navigate all of the trunks in a counterclockwise motion. And we spread it out this year. So typically we've only been in the 200 and 300 blocks. But this year, we are actually going out a half block on each side of Laurel. So that will stretch it out just a little bit. And hopefully we won't have, slow moving lines through the trunk or treat. So it'll be a good time. And that is, again, from 6 to 7:30 this evening. Next, we have on Thursday, we're going to have business after hours. We were talking off air about the new City Hall being remodeled and opening it back up to the community for some opportunities to see inside and get a first look at the renovations that took place. So we will have business after hours at City Hall on Thursday, November the 2nd at 5 o'clock. Typically, business after hours is open to just chamber members, but because this is a city building, we are opening it up to anyone who would like to come and be a part of that. We're not charging admission that we typically charge, so everybody is welcome to come to business after hours on Thursday evening at 120 North 6th Street from 5 to around 6 o'clock. And then if they want to, they can, if that doesn't work in their schedule, they can come back the next day for the city's basically, they're calling it a housewarming, because that's what they called it back when it was first opened up years ago.
Okay.
So anyway, they're going to open it up on Friday, and people can come in and take tours. And then I believe around 5:30, they're going to do a ribbon cutting. So that will be fun as well. So make sure you're checking out the city's Facebook page, and you'll see all of the details of the event on Friday. Friday's going to be a busy day because we're also going to have First Friday, and CFFI, Community Foundation for Independence, will be our business sponsor. And I have Brittany Holum in studio with me this morning, who's going to talk a little bit more about that at the end of kind of this community update. But Brittany and Harvey Lewis will be speaking about the Month of Giving campaign that's coming up in November. And then Jay Stedman is the new head men's basketball coach for the ICC Pirates. And he's going to be speaking as well, because we're getting ready to kick off basketball season. Pirates played this weekend at the Oaks Fieldhouse on the campus of Independence Community College. And they actually have another game, I believe, tomorrow on November the 1st, but it is basketball season, so it'll be nice to meet the new head coach, and maybe he'll bring some players with him and kind of talk about his thoughts and ideas for the season. And then Abby Hebert, who works for Confluence, and they are out of Des Moines, Iowa, and they are the company that has been hired. They got the bid for the city's comprehensive plan. And she will be coming in and talking about the comprehensive plan. And I was visiting with Kelly Passu, our city manager, last night. And we were talking about what does the city plan even mean, the comprehensive plan even mean. And so the last time that it was done was in 1982, so it's been a while. And this one that they're doing right now, they think should take us to 2050 and beyond, so lots of good years. It's a guide for the future growth of the city. It'll analyze existing conditions and develop strategies to encourage coordinated development, such as identifying areas to plan for future infrastructure for industrial development and economic development, updating zoning designations. So when you're looking at planning and zoning and where businesses and industry will be located, and where are the best places for that. So updating the zoning designations and other strategies to place the city in the best position for future economic success and growth. So I think it's awesome that we are working on a new comprehensive plan. I think it'll be interesting to see the end result. So Abby is going to be there to, she's one of the planners on the project, and she's going to be walking us through that and talking more about that. So shout out though to her, because she's actually my niece. And what's interesting about Abby is that she came to Niwala's and always visited Independence, and basically grew up by coming to Independence with my sister, her mom, and dad, and her other sister for years and years. So they live in Western Kansas in Liberal, and so Abby, again, just grew up coming to Independence, visiting grandma and cousins, and then she went to K-State, and she did an internship with the city of Independence, and really became connected with the community even more so, and then took this job in Iowa, and lo and behold, they bid on the job in Independence, Kansas, and they got the bid. So it's kind of full circle, so it's fun to have her come back, and she really feels connected to the community. She's not just somebody who's coming in and assessing our city. She really knows a lot about Independence. So.
That's great.
Yeah, I know. So right after First Friday, we're going to be having a couple of ribbon cuttings. They're at the same location, 501 South 12th Street, and it will be for Home Sweet Home, Homeless Ministries, Freedom House, and Indy Resource Center. And so everybody is welcome to come out probably about 9:30, and we will be cutting the ribbon on both of those properties. They're kind of one and the same, but they're separated by walls and a couple of doors, but at the same location, 501 South 12th Street. And then as soon as we get past Trunk or Treat, we're moving right into November, which will bring us to Veterans Day of Honor. And we have a lot of fun things planned to honor our veterans. And I just wanted to make a note about a few of those things. First of all, it will be the first time that Eyes of Freedom War Memorial that travels across the nation will be coming to the state of Kansas. And they will be coming into Independence on Wednesday, November the 8th. So that's next Wednesday. And community members are invited to come downtown from basically Penn and Main all the way down to Memorial Hall, stand on the sidewalks, and be a part of welcoming that war memorial as it comes in on a semi. It's a wrapped semi. It's super cool. And probably a motorcade of a lot of other veterans will be bringing them into town. But we purchased, let's see, about 450 flags. So we will be passing out flags to everyone that lines the street the day that they come in, and then we'll be also passing those flags out downtown for the Veterans Day parade that's coming up. So 9:45 is the time to remember on Wednesday, November the 8th. So come downtown if you can. If you're a business owner, step out of your store. And again, we'll be down there passing out flags so that we can wave the flags and show our support for our veterans and welcome Eyes of Freedom into the community of Independence. And then they will be setting up in the Memorial Hall Civic Center. And they will be the opening ceremony will be at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, November the 8th. And then on Thursday and Friday, the exhibit is open from 9 to 7. And on Saturday, it's open from 9 to 4. It's completely free, and we encourage everybody to stop by and see that. So let me give you a rundown of Veterans Day of Honor, because I just have a couple of times to be on the air to tell everybody about this. All the information is on our website. But the day will kick off at 7 o'clock in the morning at VFW for a Veterans Appreciation Breakfast. The VFW Post 1186 is located at 113 East Myrtle, for listeners that might not know where the V is in Independence. And then the Art Club in Independence will be putting out patriotic painted rocks that they have painted around the community. So if you find the big rocks, we'll have the pictures of them on our Facebook page. There's lots of little rocks, but if you find the big ones that are about the size of the palm of your hand or the entire size of your hand or bigger, you'll bring those down to the chamber office and we'll give you a prize. You get to keep the rock, but it's just a fun little walk around town and look for patriotic rocks. All of the Veterans Day banners will be up. All of the American flags will be up. We have over 300 American flags that fly 365 days out of the year. They are replaced about every 6 months. And actually, you can donate to that fund through CFFI, which is what Brittany's going to talk about here in a little bit, along with a lot of other organizations. But we want to keep that going in our community. And there will also be patriotic artwork in the downtown storefronts from Riley Early Learning Center and Eisenhower students. There's going to be a military exhibit that's free to veterans, but open to everyone at the museum from 10 to 4 on that Saturday. They'll have coffee and snacks for the veterans, but it will be a military exhibit. And then Veterans Freedom Square Memorial Tribute will start at 10:30 at Veterans Freedom Square, and that's at Riverside Park. And they will have the Voice of Democracy and Patriots Pen Youth Essay Award presentations there. And they will read the names of over, 804, I think, veterans that are named on the war memorial out there. So it is majestic, and it is definitely something to see. So be a part of that at 10:30 in the morning. And then immediately following that is the Fallen Soldier Cross presentation, another very moving event that they put on out there. Both of these things, the reading of the names and the pavers and the Fallen Soldier Cross presentation will be on live streamed on the city's Facebook page as well. So if by chance you're not able to get out, then you can definitely tune in and watch that. There will be carriage rides in the park from 12 to about 1:30, and then it'll wrap up because we'll be having the parade in a little bit after that. Heroes and Hot Rods will just have a car show in the parking lot of AutoZone. They're basically going to just pull in their cars and just socialize and have a good time. It's not really a contest where there's going to be awards or there's not entry fees or anything. We're just encouraging everybody to bring their cars in, and then they will all collectively drive their cars around, and they'll be at the very tail end of the parade. So it's just, again, it's called Heroes and Hot Rods. It's just a fun way to show off your cars and to show your support for the veterans. And then at 12 o'clock, there is a free community bean feed at the VFW as well. They've done a lot of renovations at the VFW. It looks nice. I've seen pictures. I'm excited to see it in person. And but again, that will be free to everybody at 12 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock will be the 7th Annual Veterans Day of Honor in downtown Independence. It will go from the south to the north. It will start right at Penn and Main, and it will end at Memorial Hall. The Veterans Day Parade goes opposite of all other parades in the community. So that was how it originated when we opened up Memorial Hall 100 years ago, and they had a parade and they went that direction, and so that's how we have our parade.
Gotcha.
So if you want to be in the parade, we would love to still have you be a part of it. And I just got a few new entries. We had some horses call. Well, we didn't have horses call, but we had wouldn't that be amazing?
He does not use the phone.
But we had some individuals that are connected with horse clubs, and they called and they wanted to go through the parade and carry American flags. So they're going to join us this year. And we have ProAg that was in the Niwala parade, and they're going to be going through. So we have some new entries and people who just want to be a part of supporting our veterans and showing their appreciation for their sacrifice. So please, 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 if you're thinking you would like to be a part of it, don't think it's too late. We can get you in, no problem. Just let us know. There's a cornhole tournament at King's Bar and Game Room. That will start at 2:30, right after the parade. Registration starts at 1:30, and they're going to be playing right outside King's Bar and Game Room, which is at 301 North Penn Avenue. And then there'll be live music at the VFW. And then that's all of the day's events. And then, but prior to Saturday, November the 11th, on Thursday, November the 9th at 7 o'clock at the Independence High School Performing Arts Center, Mid-Continent Band will be playing along with Jefferson School students. So those are, let's see, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students. And they will be participating with the band as well. So that'll be a great night of music as we celebrate our veterans on Thursday, November the 9th at the High School Performing Arts Center. And then again, remember 9:45 next Wednesday to welcome Eyes of Freedom. And then we'll really talk about this a little bit more in depth on Tuesday of next week, as we're, you know, just days away from the event. So before I introduce our in-studio guests, though, I just wanted to say a special thank you to our fire and EMS, our police department, our city crew, our street crew, our sanitation crew, for all of the hard work and dedication that they put forth for Niwala. It's a huge undertaking. Many departments are understaffed. You know, we're all fighting for employees, and not everybody has their full head count. So everybody's working extra hard and putting in extra hours, and kind of at the sacrifice of their own families. You know, they're having to work while all the rest of us are, you know, eating cotton candy and riding the squirrel cages and watching the parades. So there are unsung heroes. They don't get thanked enough. But I definitely want to take this time to tell them how much that at the Chamber we appreciate them, because in Independence, in about 25 days, we have 3 Niwala parades, a Veterans Day parade, and a Christmas parade. So that's a lot going on, and that's on top of everything else that they're doing. So shout out to them. We appreciate everything that they do.
That's a great reminder.
So with that, I brought Brittany Holum back with me in studio today. So Brittany's been here, I think, a couple, maybe 2 or 3 times. Maybe she'll just take over my job, and then I'll just stay in Independence. But I brought her in because she's going to speak at First Friday. But I think it's important that we share information around ways to give. There are so many cool things that we have in the county. You know, Coffeyville has so many things going on, community events and groups and organizations that are making a difference in the community, and Independence does as well. And both of our communities have foundations, and it's important that we have healthy foundations, that we know that there are even foundations, and once we know that there are, the importance of knowing how to give and knowing the impact that our dollars make. And in November this year, we have a special opportunity to make a big impact with the foundation. So I didn't want to attempt to try to tell their story for them. So I wanted to invite Brittany in studio to tell us all everything that we need to know about what we can do in November that will definitely make an impact in the community. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brittany.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me back, Lisa. It's always a pleasure to be here in all the numerous capacities. So the Community Foundation for Independence is super excited to first off host First Friday. I believe this is the first time that we've ever hosted this great event that we all attend often. And so we're really excited about this community giving campaign that we have rolling out this November. So for those of you who don't know, November is generally National Giving Month. Thanksgiving is a part of that. There's a big, the big push for it is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So you have Cyber Monday, you have Black Friday, you have Small Business Saturday. And so Giving Tuesday is just tied on to that, and it's somewhat of a newer thing. I've participated in it in other places that I've lived, and it's just really exciting to bring it back to Independence. It's all basically centered around that day, but we thought at the Community Foundation, why don't we go ahead and make a whole month of it and see what kind of impact we can make in our community, and how can we help the different partner organizations that the Community Foundation for Independence supports. So for those of you who don't know what the Community Foundation for Independence does, we work with over 40 organizations that we call our partner organizations throughout Southeast Kansas. So we have them from Caney, Independence, Neota, Shea, Cherryville, Coffeyville. The 40 organizations are philanthropic in mind, but they don't have to file for their 501c3. So we serve as kind of that fiduciary, you know, overseeing organization that donors can pass the money through, and then we pass it back on to our partner organizations. So in addition to the partner organization work that we do, we also are building our endowment up. So we're able to work and provide different grant opportunities for those partner organizations in addition to just being that pass-through for them. So we were fortunate earlier this year to receive a Patterson Family Foundation grant. And so part of this whole giving campaign is centered around the receiving of that grant. So they say, we'll give you up to $70,000. If you can raise 70, we'll give you 70. And that 70 can be used to help start your endowment. It can go back to your partner organizations. You really have autonomy to do what you want with that match. So it's really important that we make it to that $70,000 to make the full impact. So how are we going to do that? So that's centered around the whole month of giving campaign. We did a smaller fundraising initiative, in August, and so we received funds from a number of different of our community members who actively support the Community Foundation for Independence, and so they are our star donors. And so I'll just list them off really quickly: Ray Woods, Butch and Gail Holum, Hugo's Industrial Supply, Lacey and Ryan Lease, Greg and Sandy Webster Trust, Sectam of Independence, Romans Outdoor Power and Romans Motor Company, Dr. Greg and Lori Kelly, Community National Bank, Kelly Spine and Sport, and Eye Care Optometry. So I apologize if I left anyone out. That's what my current list shows. So we just really want to thank all of these people who really helped kick off our fundraising initiative. So there's lots of work still to be done. And so who all do we support? It's kind of interesting to walk through the different partner organizations that we support. And I was joking with Lisa that as she was reading the different names off, I wanted to ring the bell to say, you know, how broad is our impact. So on our website, cffindy.org, cffindy.org, you're able to go through and see all the different partner organizations that we support. And so it's anywhere from, we support the Memorial Flags organization, the group that's bringing in the Eyes of Freedom, mm-hmm. the Veterans Freedom Square, Stuff the Bus, Indie Women's United, 365 Hoops Elite, the We Care organization, the Eagle Rock Shredders, Choppyville, Bright Christmas. There's a number of different organizations all over the place that do so many great things. And so as a part of this Month of Giving campaign, we're really wanting to highlight each of these organizations and the great work that they do. A lot of them are just, you know, several people, mom and pops, organizations that that just need an extra little lift up. And you know, $100 donation goes a long way to these different organizations. Mm-hmm. The new website you have the capabilities to donate directly on the website. So there's fantastic giving opportunities there. But we really want to help support our organizations as well. And so we're doing two different training events for our partner organizations. One is next Tuesday and the other is next Thursday. And so we really encourage all of our partner organizations, if you're affiliated with one of our partner organizations, please step up and come and learn a little bit more about how to fundraise for your organization and how the DonorBox platform works. And then also throughout the month, we're giving different opportunities, little small mini grants to the organizations for, you know, little small competitions and such. Sorry, there's a lot to cover.
Oh, no worries. No, that's great.
And I've got one more. The last thing, we're doing this fantastic event on November 28th. And it's actually Giving Tuesday. And so we're going to have an event at the Founders Place Indy. And we're going to encourage all of our partner organizations to come in, bring all of the information that they want. And we're inviting the community to come in as well to learn a little bit more about all these partner organizations. If you're not familiar with some of these, pop in and help celebrate our Month of Giving and learn a little bit more about these organizations.
Well, that's fantastic. And I mean, some of these just unique ways to give. And I especially love that idea of, you know, being able to go around and tangibly see, you know, these organizations, because sometimes, you know, they can exist in ways that, you know, you haven't maybe met the people running them or that sort of thing. But this can give you a real idea of all the good that they do. So you had something, Lisa?
Well, I was just going to ask, so during this time, you can start in November. So as soon as November hits,
yep,
you can make your donation.
Correct.
And then how do you do that online? You're not going to push the buttons to give to specific groups. Is there just one button, or?
So each organization has its own button on the cffindy.org website.
Right.
And so you'll go to right at the front homepage, there's a picture of downtown New Orleans, and then there's a donate button. And that donate button will bring you to all of our different partner organizations, and then each of them have their own individual page. And so that's where you can go in and donate. There's also, you can also send it to P.O. Box 1003, Independence, Kansas 67301, and just designate what organization you want that to go to. But what we're going to do, and this is part of rolling it out this week at First Friday, is the incentives that we're giving to the partner organization. So we put out the contest, who can get the most $25 donors? And so we don't, $5 goes a long way, you know,
yeah.
There's no minimum to donate. I think it's $3 on the platform, sorry. So there is a minimum, but so whatever group gets the most fundraising that day wins an additional grant from a mini grant from CFFI.
So if I were to say I was going to donate $100,
yep.
my $100, I could, let's, for argument's sake, I could donate to four different groups, $25 a piece.
Yes.
Right? And then does that equate to $200 because it goes into this match?
Not, that was what the star donor part did. So the match, we will have different ways to match. So if you, so if you're a donor for on a special day and you want to say, I give $100 to four different organizations, there's a potential that your $100 can get matched. We can't match everything. We can match some of it.
Okay.
So that's what the contests are for. So for each person who donates $100 on whatever day, we'll put you in a drawing, and then you get to pick which one your organization doubles for. So we're looking at a lot of creative ways, which mm-hmm. I'll roll out at First Friday.
Good. Good.
Well, that's great, and obviously they'll be able to donate in person too, I assume, you know, on this, you know, actual Giving Tuesday.
Absolutely. We take cash checks. We take investments and down. We take all kinds of. I mean, people turn in their proceeds on their investments, and that's a great way to. It's a great way for. Mm-hmm. and giving to the foundation is all. We're a 501c3, so it's all tax deductible if that's how you choose to do your taxes. So there's so many different ways, and we in addition, we just launched our updated Facebook page too. So, Lisa, will you push that out on yours?
Sure.
And so the old one, we couldn't get into it, and so we created a new one. But all of the details will be on the different opportunities for raising money for your organization will be on here. And it's also, you know, we're a grassroots area, right? So we all go out and fundraise for our different initiatives. So you know, partner organizations are set up with their own page as well as a QR code where they can just go fundraise for all the different organizations as well.
That's great. Well, it sounds like that, you know, a lot of information is going to be shared here at First Friday. But if people want to learn more about the foundation and what's the best way to do that, the website, that sort of thing.
Yeah, website or Facebook.
Okay.
There's a contact form on Facebook where you can. Or I'm sorry. There's a contact form on our website. You can email us on the Facebook. Either or, yeah.
Great ways to learn about it. That's fantastic. We're looking forward to a big month of giving here.
I think one of the things that I love about Community Foundation for Independence is that so many times we want to donate to groups and organizations, but we don't know all of the groups and organizations that are in the community, and we don't know how to track them down, where the contact people are, mailing addresses, all of those things. It makes it difficult sometimes. And this is almost one-stop shopping for a couple of reasons. To me, it means that making donations is easier because you can go online and you're just a push of a button and it takes care of it. And you can set it up to do it on an annual basis, a one-time basis. There's lots of different options on there and different increments that you can donate. Different increments you can donate at, but also I think sometimes it's interesting to go on there and look at all of their partnering organizations and find your passion. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that I could donate to the American flags. I just thought
sure.
they were
they just pop up.
Yeah, they just pop up.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's a great
and,
reminder.
And I want to be a part of that. I want to support our veterans, and you know, that would be a way that somebody could do that, or one of the other. One of the other partnering organizations. And the other piece that I guess lastly is I think it's really interesting and nice that these partnering organizations don't have to be 501c3s. And so, correct? So
yeah, there's a lot of administrative burden, just a lot of administrative work that goes behind being a 501c3 and making sure that all of your, you know, all of your books are done super well, which you should do, which partner organizations should do anyways. But there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through.
Especially, these organizations, no one's getting paid to mm-hmm. be in these positions mm-hmm. a lot of times.
But it's a win-win because they're getting those donations and we're, excuse me, we're able to give and also get a tax incentive if that's what we choose to do. So I think there are so many reasons why it's important to have a community foundation such as CFFI and be able to benefit from all of their offerings. And I do want to say CFFI has worked hard to get to where they are today, because I've been at the Chamber for 12 years and we've not had CFFI conversations like this until the last about 24 months. CFFI really branched out and developed the website and really expanded their offerings and their visibility in the community. So I'm excited about the foundation and its future, what it'll do for our community.
That's fantastic. Well, we really appreciate Brittany coming on the program here, and I hope you have a great month ahead and lots of generous folks out there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. And we'll be getting into open line here in moments on the Mighty 690 KGGF.